Greetings and salutations, everyone. It's Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. It is the 13th of August, which is a Saturday, about 10 o'clock in the morning. Tim and I missed our date yesterday. We usually do a Take 10 with Tim on Friday, but it's a Take 10 with Tim on Saturday. Tim, we've already heard from 20 people or so. Where the hell's the podcast? So
I'm sorry, folks, but I got a phone call and somebody said, "Do you want to go for a drive?" And I said, "Okay," and you were very accommodating, and I thank you and appreciate that, Rich. And to our listeners, we're back, just a one-day sort of hiccup. How's that?
Timmy, it is what it is, right? So I'm going to actually, the first week in September, I'll be on vacation, so we won't be doing a Take 10 with Tim on the first weekend, the first Friday in September. So, yeah, and we have lives outside of the podcast, believe it or not.
What? Yeah, well, you're retired. How do you go on vacation when you're retired? Isn't retirement a permanent vacation?
It is. Or am I missing something? So we have, so when the kids first left the nest, they both went away to college. We decided, this was, so Matt's 32, so he went away when he was 18. So it's been a while, so 14 years or so. And we decided to take a empty nester trip every September after summer is gone. So we always leave on or about Labor Day. There's nobody at hotels because all the kids are in school. So you go stay at a resort. It's empty.
And there's no screaming and yelling.
And the weather's generally not much different than 2 weeks prior to that in August, so you could still get nice warm weather. So we're going to Santa Barbara out in California. We're going to be there for the week, and super excited about it. And so that's what we're doing, Tim.
Yeah, didn't you take the kids and Lori? Didn't you go to Monte Carlo? Does that ring a bell?
We went to Monte Carlo with the kids. We've been all over the world with the kids, so they were well taken care of. But Monte Carlo was that I'll never forget. So so in Monte Carlo you can sunbathe in the nude. So we're by the pool and women start taking off their tops, and it's like I'm looking around going, like, what's going on? Lori's like looking at me like, what's going on? And Lauren's got her mouth. She's probably 16 at the time. And she goes, I go, "Lauren, if you take your top off, I'm going to kill myself." So please don't do that.
So, you want to enjoy your flight back from the seat, not underneath the plane and luggage.
Exactly.
Right?
So Matt was off at the gym. So all of a sudden he's walking out onto the pool deck, and all of a sudden he's like, you know, kind of walking his normal walk. All of a sudden he starts slowing down as you can see him like looking around like, what's going on? And
he would be about 18 at that time.
Lauren had just turned 18. You're 17. Mm. She might have been 17. So he was like, you know, 19, 20 years old, college guy. Yeah. So you could just see him slowing.
Perfect spot for topless bathing. Right?
Exactly. So you could see him like slowing down, not being obvious, but you could just kind of see his eyes going back and forth. He comes down, sits right next to me, leans over, and he goes, "Why didn't you call me?" Hey, I don't know, man. can I tell you?
Because Lori is sitting right beside you is the obvious answer, right?
And it was so Monte Carlo is incredibly wealthy people and lots of, they call them May-December relationships. So you have the old man and the young hot wife. So you can, or girlfriend or whatever. So you can imagine it was a scene going on at the pool and at the beach. So,
And every time Matt sees you, he thanks you for that.
we had a great time. We did that. We did England. We did France. I mean, it was the whole kind of European thing. So it was a lot of fun. So Timmy, how's life? How's your base? How's your fantasy teams doing?
They're doing pretty much the same as they've been doing all year. Some good, some bad, some ugly. Some injuries this week in my keeper team, you know, about a week and a half ago, I was thinking things are looking really good for next year. I like my pitching.
Of death to say that in a keeper league. I like my pitching because things change very quickly.
Well, in the past week, Hunter Green hit the IL, mm-hmm. and I don't think we have a firm diagnosis yet.
He's lost for the season.
Yes, he's lost for the season. Long term, I think it's still up in the air. Mm-hmm.
Tarek Skubal is lost for the season. Yeah, that was not good. A tired arm. He came back, pitched okay, Timmy, and then just shut down. And now they're saying it's a potential elbow issue. And he's already had one Tommy John surgery about 5 years ago. So if this is the second one, that's just not good.
No, Monday is the day he's seeing a specialist. So that sort of bummed me out. And then, well, let's just toss in a little bit of Pedro Leon catching one in the face. Mm-hmm. And he's out indefinitely. And Yuri Perez, apparently just precautionary, but he's having some shoulder issues, discomfort. So they've got him on the IL. So in the span of a week, about five players there that, a change in fortune. How's that? And not for the good.
Yeah, I mean, but it is the middle of August. It's been a long season in the minor leagues and in the major leagues. These young kids are putting long innings on their arms. And, Timmy, hopefully all three of them are just tired and they need a break and they're going to come back healthy. I'm probably the most worried about Skubal.
Yeah, that's the one that I'm really concerned about. When it gets to the stage where you're seeing a specialist for a second opinion,
yeah,
that I don't like the sound of that. Yeah. I really don't. Yeah,
hopefully it's just scarring tissue that's ripped away a little bit. I mean, hopefully that's all there is. But you know, Timmy, it just these pitch. I mean, you gotta have pitching in a fantasy league, and it's like you hold your breath every time those guys go out.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a struggle, and in the span of a few days, you can go from feast to famine in a hurry. On the other hand, looking at that team, I'm really happy with what I'm seeing from MJ Melendez. He's a player
for sure, Timmy, and it's just his success last year prompted me to start my monthly podcast. Looking at the previous month's hot prospects of the month, because
Right.
I missed his entire season last year because he never had like a week that just blew everybody away. He improved because he stopped striking out as much and still hit home runs. But it didn't look all that unusual. If it would have been a look back on a month, I would have probably have caught that he improved his strikeout rate. And I miss it. I don't have him on any teams. In every one of our dynasty leagues, he was completely available because he sucked the 2 years prior to that.
And again, there's a gap in there with COVID. Everything, it was the perfect situation for players to either fall back in a big way or step up in a big way. And some, we saw both. And in Melendez's case, it was a big step in the right direction. So people that invested early in Melendez in keeper formats, they got to be liking what they're seeing.
I have no inside information on this, Timmy, but the Kansas City Royals, let me back up a little bit. The Kansas City Royals apparently have changed their development approach to helping guys make better contact. Nick Prado has made better contact, not as much as Melendez and some other guys. Yeah. It has worked for them. They just acquired a kid who's got speed and power, who makes terrible contact, and Drew Waters, former Atlanta Braves. I would be a little encouraged to try to go out and acquire Drew Waters because there is definitely an interesting profile there. And if he came up with the Braves, he probably would have hit 220. So, if that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'd see what you saw in the minors.
Right, but you kind of have this encouragement. Can the Royals do some magic with him and help him, stop being so aggressive at the plate and learn strike zone better? And we'll see. But he's an interesting guy. You have to profile organizations as well to what they're really good at. And the Royals seem to have figured something out with guys making better contact.
Well, and It's not like he doesn't have tools. He does.
Oh, yeah. He's fast. He's got good power. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm looking. It might be one of those opportunities where somebody's just tired of waiting, et cetera, et cetera. And
he's been dropped. Oh, he's been dropped in some dynasty leagues. Yeah.
Yeah. It might be time to, as you suggested, do some investing. Good call. I like it.
Let's talk about somebody else. We're burying the lead here, guys. We know that Tatis Jr. We get it. We're going to get to that in a minute. But yeah. Jarred Kelenic, Tim.
Yes.
It's brutal. He got demoted again. That, granted, I mean, they're in a playoff run, and you know they're looking for guys that can help them now, and Kelenic clearly not. But I still have this bad feeling in my stomach that the Mets saw all of this, and that's why they traded him. And so far, that has not been disproven.
That's entirely possible. I know the Mets took a lot of flack when they moved him.
For sure.
They took some serious flack. And right now, somebody's got to be sitting back smiling a little bit at the way things have turned out. For Kelenic, the Mariners also demoted Kyle Lewis.
Yeah.
Who was really struggling, and both of them were supposed to be key contributors to this year in the bland.
Kyle Lewis won the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And again,
his problem might be health. I mean, those knees might be, might be shot. I mean, you hate to say that for a 25 or 6-year-old kid, but I mean, I'm hearing, reading that he's just having struggle walking. So,
jeez. Yeah, you know, the Mariners are 10 games over 500.
Yeah.
Without those two players in the everyday lineup. So,
but Kelenic's strikeout rate is scary, Timmy. Yeah. He goes back to the minors and he plays well, but if you take a look at his pitch data, he can't hit a breaking pitch. Just cannot hit a curveball. And guys in the major leagues know this, and they're just throwing them, you know, balls that bend until he hits it.
Well, you know, as we've mentioned numerous times, it's a game of constant adjustments. And if they've found a flaw or a hole or an opportunity, pitchers have, they're going to take advantage of it until he can prove otherwise. And like you said, they'll throw him curveball after curveball after curveball. And, you know, at some point in time, he's got to make that next move.
Timmy, I wrote up some notes. I like the notes a lot. I said, when I sent them to you yesterday, I said, well, you know, things could change. And I think they changed in a big way last night. I don't know what time it was. I had an event to go to, but when I got back and about 9 o'clock when I started opening stuff up, I saw where Fernando Tatis Jr. had tested positive for PEDs, and I think it was an anabolic steroid, if I understand correctly. And I mean, look, you hear it all the time. You don't understand it. The thing, though, that became disconcerting to me is that he said, well, gee, I took it. I was trying to treat ringworms, which might have been TMI. You know, we didn't. But, you know, he said that. So what do? I go out and Google how to treat ringworms, Timmy. You treat ringworms with an antifungal cream. If that doesn't work, you treat it with an antifungal pill. And you don't treat it with an antibiotic steroid pill, which is, I don't understand. I'm not a chemical master at all, but it doesn't make sense what he is saying. So, and then you get the whole thing with the motorcycle accident and kind of not being honest about that. And it's all of a sudden, it's like, what the hell is going on?
Well, and this test goes back to March.
Wow. Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, the test was taken at the end of March.
Ah.
That's the information that I'm seeing start to surface. The other thing that has surfaced is some comments coming out of his home country that he was using some sort of a cream or home remedy, whatever, to try and work on the healing process with his wrist. But you know what? I don't care what Tatis Jr. has to say. I don't know if we'll ever know the answer. The bottom line is we've seen a kid basically try and cover up and hide a motorcycle accident from last offseason. Okay, now we've seen him test positive. Is it possible to believe anything right now that Fernando Tatis Jr. says? I don't think it is. All these teams out there, they have medical people. Okay, they have dietary people. You know, they have every resource available. All of these players, they know the risks. Okay, they've been told, they're told every spring, it's been grilled into them for years and years. If you have any doubts, present your medication or whatever to the league. They'll review it and give you an answer. There are options here, and he chose to avoid the options. Well, when you choose to avoid options, what perception does that present?
If I'm the San Diego owners of the San Diego Padres, Tim, I'm furious, right? Because I'm furious at Tatis Jr., yes, but I'm more furious at AJ Preller, because you signed a kid to a $300 million contract at 22 years old who's doing this kind of nonsense. I mean,
yeah.
And now it kind of makes you wonder why he made the play for Juan Soto. Did he already know that Tatis Jr. wasn't coming back this year and he was trying to, you know, to make it happen this year? If I'm AJ Preller, I'm a little nervous about my job right about now.
Well, yeah, and you know what? I sort of look at this as, you know, something that we try to instill even in our own children, okay? You make a mistake, right? You fess up, you pay for it. Okay, Madison Bumgarner, you know, when he wiped out on his dirt bike, right? He wasn't shy. He came out right away and said, I wiped out on my dirt bike. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I screwed up. Okay, well, Tatis tried to hide this thing.
Yeah.
And who knows what else he's tried to hide, trying to rehab or get better. Now, again, if this test goes back to March, I would have to think that Preller knew about it before Friday.
You would have thought.
Again, I don't know the procedure. All I know is if I was the San Diego Padres, what I would be doing right now is looking to try and find a way to avoid that contract.
Wow. Yeah. That's the approach I would take.
And, you know, I'm a player's guy, you know, player's over owner. I always have been. Okay. But at the same point in time, there's got to be some responsibilities. You know, if I was a team owner, okay, and looking at all this information, okay, now Juan Soto, okay, is looking at a, give or take, a $500 million payday, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would want something in that contract saying if you are caught using illegal performance substances, this contract is null and void. I honestly think that there should be an obligation or a commitment. Okay.
I don't think that's ever going to be put in a contract.
I think it should be, though. What do you think? You know, I
do not, and I'll tell you why. Because the player can always say, I didn't know that this cream, this, they make stuff up, that this pill was a banned substance. And, you know, I took
Why didn't you bring it to the team and ask for their approval?
Fair point. But I think the Players Association, I think it's been talked about a lot, and I don't think that stuff's ever included.
Yeah, well, hey, with every resource that's available to the players, okay, as far as I'm concerned right now, there is no excuse, okay, to not know what's going into your body.
I think every general manager would agree with you.
Yeah, the league has said that you are responsible for that. We don't care how whatever shows up in your blood test, okay? It's there. That's the problem.
May I take a different tact?
Sure.
I think every player knows this, every general manager knows this, and is pumping it down all the players' throats. Mm-hmm. All of the agents know this and are telling their players this, but players cheat. And this is where I think this is all coming from. So,
yeah, but
they're not going to go to the trainer. Go, I'm going to take this antibiotic steroid. You think that's okay? They're going to say, I need to take this antibiotic steroid for whatever reason and enhance performance, help me get well quicker. And they're taking masking agents. I believe, given what you've just said, that everybody knows all of this stuff. I guess I said it too. then ergo, the only thing left is that they know it, so they're trying to get around it by doing other stuff.
Okay, I don't agree with it. Okay, but I can see a kid who's been in the minors, okay, since he was 17, working on a minimum salary. Okay, I don't agree with it, but I can see.
You can understand it. I got.
I can understand what's happening there.
Tatis Jr. has a $300 million guaranteed contract. What the heck is he doing?
Exactly. You know, we offer
totally agree.
Mike Trout $400 million. He gets caught, or Juan Soto, or any player on a big contract. There is no excuse, none whatsoever. Nothing washes. I don't care what Tatis Jr. says. He cheated.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's no reason.
That's
for
the
it.
Only thing you're left. You can't. This ringworm thing. It's an awful argument to me. It makes no sense.
Well, and you know what? On top of that, what I think has happened is he's just trying to dig himself out of a hole that he dug for himself.
Yeah.
And maybe the appropriate. And again, I don't know. I'm just surmising. Okay, but based on what we're hearing, a lot of this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why don't you just come? Eventually, the truth will. It will arrive more or less. You know, hey, if you make a faux pas, okay, and I know we instill it in our kids, fess up to it, take your lumps, move forward. Apologize, make sure it doesn't happen again, right? Well, I see excuses, but I don't see, you know, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No.
I mean, like I said, if I was the Padres right now, I'd be looking for every way possible to avoid that contract. And let Fernando Tatis Jr. walk.
Good luck with that, Timmy. I have to tell you,
if you
take a look at Ronald Acuna and Tatis Jr. being kind of equal skill, you know, both two of the top five players in the league, eight players, whatever you want to call it, and you see the contract that the Braves did with Acuna versus what the Padres did, you kind of now know, like, maybe the Braves had the right idea. You give a 20-21-year-old, you know, that amount of money, you gotta play the risk angle a little bit. You know, you just can't like toss that kind of money at a player. I mean, you need to see them grow up a little bit, see the kind of guy that you had. Because what would have happened if all of this happened, he wasn't on the contract? Do you think they would be running out to sign him for $300 million? I think not.
No, I think they would be offering him minimum, and you go through the arbitration process, and at the end of that, we'll let you walk or we'll make a decision. But
right.
We wouldn't be locking you up as a 21-year-old. He's only 23 years old. He hasn't turned 24 until, what, January next year, I believe it is?
And we all do stupid stuff when we're very young, Timmy. And
yes,
that's,
we do.
That's part of the growing up process, and you give these children a lot of money, and Timmy, and you know, what do you know? And I think that's why you look at the deal that they signed with Acuna, and it was actually a better business decision by the Braves than what Preller did with Tatis Jr., and you kind of wonder if that's going to be his undoing, and quite frankly, the Padres' undoing.
Well, you know, the Padres will survive without Fernando Tatis Jr., and maybe Fernando Tatis Jr. should really consider that. I don't care who you are, nobody is bigger than the game itself. Nobody's indispensable.
Based on what has happened this year with his not being truthful about the accident and now this, Timmy, boy, the cards are stacked against Tatis Jr. being able to be trusted. It's like, how do you trust this guy? Anything that comes out of his mouth, how do you trust him?
Yeah, well, right now you can't. And it's going to take several years, okay, of being of good, solid, maybe even great production, keeping his nose clean. It's going to take at least 3-4 years before people forget about this.
I think he said something like that. Like, you know, we've lost the trust between the two parties. And I think that was appropriate. I mean, it is.
Sure it was.
I mean, it's.
Yeah.
And Timmy, don't forget, we still got this, like, shoulder subluxation that he had all last year. I mean,
we have
no idea if that's resolved or not.
Well, for all we know, and again, I have no idea. He might have been doing something for his shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know, right?
Yep, you don't know.
We have no idea what was going on. But you're right, the shoulder is still lurking there. And I guess this would be the perfect time to get that work done, wouldn't it?
I would have thought he would have already had that work done. That's what I find mm-hmm. to be perplexing. But yeah, now he's got another, you know, 80 games, which is the rest of this year in the midway through. He doesn't get the chance to play in the World Baseball Classic. So, you know, he's a big Dominican kid and was going to be
Middle of May, we see him back on the field next year.
Yeah. I mean, so what round does he go in next season?
To me, I'm not going anywhere near him.
Yeah.
No, I got burnt this year. I'm once bitten, twice shy. I think he will have to go probably somewhere round 3 to 5, but I won't be going anywhere near him. I took a chance on Ronald Acuna, and a lesson was learned there. Mm-hmm. He has come back. He has been okay, but considering the investment that I made to acquire him, no, I'm going to stay away from the walking. If you're starting the season on the IL next year, unless there is a massive, massive discount, I'm going to stay away. It's something I've known, and it's something I've tried to practice. I slipped this year, and it cost me.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up. I made a deal, as you know, in DL5 for Michael Trout, and Michael Trout was hurt. I did as much due diligence as I could before I pulled the trigger on that, and I thought it was a rib, and it turned out to be this horrible, when I swing the bat, it hurts, okay? And people talking about, a potential career, not ending, but career lessening kind of...
Altering,
that's the right word. The same guy then said, hey, would you... Because I still need power in this league, right? So he says, what about Giancarlo Stanton? He's going to be off the IL soon. I'm like, dude, if I didn't learn from Mike Trout, then I should just stop playing, right? I mean, that's like, maybe he comes back and it's great. I can't do it again. I mean, I've already been burned by Michael Trout that he might not ever be the same guy. I can't do it again. I just can't.
No, so, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results, right?
I don't blame the guy for coming back at me. I mean, I would have probably done the same thing, but I mean, come on, I just can't do it.
Well, I couldn't make that offer to you. I just couldn't do that one. But
Timmy, let's take a break. We've already gone almost 30 minutes, but that was a really good discussion. So, Tim, let's talk about the playoff situation, shall we?
Yeah. A few things have changed recently, haven't they?
I know. So I'm bringing it up now. Let's see. Let's go to the American League. If the season were to end today, let me do my wild card because that's probably the best thing. The Houston Astros easily win the West. The New York Yankees easily win the East. Cleveland Indians are now on top in the Central, and the wild card would be your Seattle Mariners, your Toronto Blue Jays, and Timmy, do you know who the other wild card team would be?
I'm going to guess right as of today, it's the Baltimore Orioles, isn't it?
It is the Baltimore Orioles, which
that's awesome. I love it.
Now, I will, full disclosure, my wife's a huge fan. I watch a lot of games, but I could care less if they make it in. But that's a great, great baseball story.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you look at the Yankees, okay, and the Jays had an opportunity, but the Jays have stumbled in the past week and a half. And the Yankees
are stumbling.
Yeah, they're 2-8 in their past 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, all of a sudden, you know, those two teams, hey, you know, Baltimore is only 2 games back of the Jays right now.
I know.
You know, and the Jays are 9 games over 500, 10 out. But the Jays got a tough weekend coming up. They got absolutely smoked last night by Cleveland. And, you know, Naylor hit a 2-run home run. But the first inning was just so Cleveland retro 70s look. Okay, a guy gets hit by a pitch, slaps a single, guy bunts, ends up at, you know, they're, everybody's hustling. They've got the pitching, and little ball rules in Cleveland. And other than a couple bats, the, you know, Jose Ramirez that can drive the ball, and Naylor that can drive the ball a long way, they're playing station to station. Advance runners, score, and shut them down with pitching. And I sort of like what I'm seeing there, that retro look. You know, I mean, say, not, rather than the three true outcome, it's a different game, but it's working for them well.
Totally agree with you, Timmy. And I'm going to stick with the Cleveland Guardians. And
yeah,
I have to tell you, I'm not drafting in dynasty leagues. I had Stephen Kwan in a couple of leagues, and after his hot start, Tim, I put him out on the block, and I got, it was crickets. Nobody was interested in Stephen Kwan. That guy's pretty darn good. He's got an on base. He's got an on base percentage of .375.
Yeah,
he's got 10 stolen bases, 3 home runs, but he's got 57 runs scored. He's hitting at the top of the lineup. That's a sneaky little good player.
Well, he's Luis Arraez with a little bit more power.
Or Nick Madrigal, we thought who Nick Madrigal would be, and it's maybe Stephen Kwan.
Well, yeah. You're never going to see big power numbers, but especially in the Cleveland offense, he is doing exactly what they need. He's getting on base and creating opportunities to score runs. And from a fantasy point of view, even though he wasn't what we thought he would be, he's turning out to be a pretty good chip.
Yeah, I think it's a 12 to 15 stolen base guy, 5 home runs, and he could easily score 100 runs. Once the other big boys get up to Cleveland. And that's not an awful player.
No, that's a player that, like you said, you had him, you acquired him, drafted him, whatever, and after the hot start, moving him was next to impossible. You got stuck with him, and you got stuck with something that's turning out to be
pretty good,
pretty darn good,
and particularly in an on-base percent, even in a batting average league, it's hitting .300. I mean, it's like, those are, so he helps you in the three more difficult categories in a rotisserie league: batting average, slash, on base percentage, run scored, and stolen bases. And you know, there's a ton of guys that hit for power with RBIs. It's hard to find guys in those other three categories.
Well, playing in an OBP league, a guy that's hitting .370 will give you a, you know, assuming that your team is built reasonably, it gives you a bit of an edge, and you got to take those edges.
Timmy, I have been rooting for the Chicago White Sox not to get in, just because I think that's they've just done horrible things in that organization, including Tony La Russa. But I have to tell you, I'm pleased as punch that the Tampa Bay Rays are currently not in the wild card, because I think, have they gotten just too smart for themselves, Timmy, and are starting to look foolish by every player pretty much being the same, and you know, all these dink and dunk guys that are out there?
Well, I think they, at one point in time, they ruled the roost by being ahead of the game, but now they're not ahead of the game anymore. They're just part of it, and you have to have skilled players. You know, you can platoon till you're blue in the face. But, you know, hey, Yandy Diaz and Isaac Paredes and G-Man Choi and Tyler Walls, Jose Siri, they're not that good, are they?
Yeah, they're fine complementary players, Demi.
Yeah, exactly.
Jose Siri was the fourth outfielder in Houston. That's the kind of player he is, and that's who the Rays love acquiring.
Well, yeah, and you know, you start to look, hey, there is no doubt that injuries have hurt that team this
year. Absolutely. Juan DeFranco is the best player on that team, and he hasn't played most of the season.
Manny Margot, another really good player that fits well into their system. You know, very good defensively, offensively, average. Yeah, it's, And again, there's no doubting that they've dealt with injuries, but, you know, it's fine to platoon and move players around, but you still have to have a certain level of player, and I don't think they do right now.
Totally agree. All right, Timmy, break it down for me. I'm assuming Houston and the Yankees are your division winner. Does Cleveland hold off the Twins and White Sox and others?
Yeah, I think they do. I think they're pitching. Quantrill made the Jays look silly last night, and he is not one of their elite pitchers.
You know, he's pitched pretty well though this year.
Yeah, he has, but he not Bieber-esque or, you know, Tristan McKenzie-esque type. Yeah,
but yeah, look, again, guys go to Cleveland, Timmy, and they get better. Just like in Miami, just like in Los Angeles. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah, so I think I got to go with Cleveland, and I'm gonna play the three from the AL East plus Cleveland, Houston, and Seattle, and I'm gonna call the Baltimore Orioles to be a playoff team. I'm gonna roll with that one and root hard for them.
I agree. And who are the other two?
The Yankees, Toronto, and Baltimore from the East, Cleveland, and Houston and Seattle.
Okay, yeah. All right, so pretty much as it is now.
Yeah, pretty much as it is now, yeah. And Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken, I think because of the way the season was set up, I think I remember hearing somewhere, I think Baltimore has six games with Kansas City to finish the year.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, you got to like that situation a bit, don't you?
Your buddy Austin Voth, Timmy, I'm telling you, better be on your waiver wire this week, because that guy is better than people think.
I've been saying that for years and been ridiculed for
that's
it.
That's true.
For years.
That's true. Cal Quantrill, Timmy, who was he drafted by? First round pick.
Padres.
That's right. Yes. Lots of Padre guys that they got rid of, kind of surfacing now and becoming pretty good players. In the National League, we've got the Dodgers way out in front. I think, let's see, San Diego, they're way out in front.
Almost 20 games.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
They lost the
Dodgers. Dodgers and Mets and St. Louis now, if the season were to end, would be your divisional winners. And your wild card would be Atlanta, the Phillies. You've been calling the Phillies since day one, and the Padres. So, do the Mets hold off the Braves?
Yes, I think they do. I think it's time, and I was chastised on Twitter, and deservedly so, for being a little bit down on the Mets, and all my Twitter fans out there, you know who you are. Scherzer and DeGrom, or DeGrom and Scherzer as a 1-2 punch are...
pretty good.
Yeah, pretty darn good. The key to the Mets' fortunes is going to be keeping Jake DeGrom healthy heading into the playoffs. Yeah. That's the key for the Mets, as far as I'm concerned.
Danny Vogelbach has become a cult hero in New York, and people love him. I mean, look, who doesn't like a fat man, Timmy? I mean, it's just the way it is, right? He's a fat dude. He can really, really hit. So,
yes, I enjoy watching Mets games just to see him run the bases.
Oh, yeah.
It's good for him.
Yeah, for sure.
Escaping Pittsburgh. Like, I mean, the only time in his life he has run faster was to the plane to get to New York when he was traded, right?
Death taxes and leaving Pittsburgh, Timmy, the three assurances in life. You're going to become a better player when you leave Pittsburgh. That is for sure.
And, you know, the Braves have got a good team. There's no doubting it. And as do the Phillies. You know, you got to be inspired by what's happening. They got Segura back now. At some point in time, I'm assuming before the playoffs, Bryce Harper resurfaces.
Yep.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So it's going to come down to the – it's really only one other team that has a chance to help or to mix things up, and that is the Milwaukee Brewers. And it looks like – it's going to be either the Milwaukee Brewers or the St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, the Brewers have gone into a bit of a tailspin. They were 3-7 in their past 10. Cards 8-2. I'm still rooting for the Brewers. I really am. And, you know, Dan Vogelbach's brother by another mother, Rowdy Tellez.
That's true.
Yeah, it's I had nothing against. I've got nothing against the Cards, but this supposed small market, because there is no small market. The Brewers, I got to root for the Brewers, so I'm going to go three, much the same as the East in the AL. I'm going to go three from the East in the NL, and I think we could see two from the Central. And only one from the NL West.
So you're saying San Diego doesn't get in?
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic to me. I'm struggling with a team that doesn't have any homegrown players on their roster. I'm struggling with that. It feels like the 70s Yankees.
Well, it does. And if I got a choice between rooting for the Padres or St. Louis, Milwaukee, I'm going to go with St. Louis, Milwaukee.
I agree with you, Timmy. Part of it is, you're simply for the Padres. Aren't you just rooting for the uniform?
Well, yeah. Hey, it would be nice to see that deal working, but I have some concerns about the Padres pitching. And
I totally agree. I mean, Clevenger's a nice pitcher. Blake Snell's a nice pitcher. But you put him against the Dodgers, I think they get destroyed.
You put them against the Brewers, big three, and if they're all healthy.
I think they're good against bad teams. They're not very good. They're average against the better teams. I think that's the problem. Final questions. By the way, Dodgers are 10-0 in their last 10. So they're with an 11-game winning streak. So they're 78 wins already.
Next week, I think.
They only have 33 losses, Tim.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, we've talked about what an amazing season the Yankees have had. The Dodgers have 9 fewer losses, and nobody's talking about them because, again, they're missing some players.
They're getting back one of the better young pitchers in the game, Dustin May. I mean, that's next week, right? He starts for the Dodgers against Arizona this coming week.
Yeah, I haven't seen – I didn't see if he was starting.
That's what they were saying. I think his rehab is over.
Yeah, he wound up with a nice outing in that last game.
So he's very, very close to me. And Gonsolin's just turned out to be a stud. And I mean, Clayton Kershaw, who? Anyway, give me the World.
Urias is a top 10, 15 pitcher. Yeah.
Then not to mention their offense, which is just ridiculous. So give me the World Series combatants and tell me who wins.
Okay. You know what I would love to see, okay? It would never happen, but I'd love to see Baltimore and Milwaukee.
That'd be great. I agree.
Yeah, that I would smile all off season.
DL Hall's coming up, baby.
Yes, he is. He's been on the taxi squad, and he's going to move from taxiing to...
Today, right? Isn't he supposed to project it to pitch today?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
And don't count out. I mean, if the Orioles are in a run, do not count out Grayson Rodriguez coming up in September, Tim, because he's just about ready.
And Gunnar Henderson possibly as well.
You know, it's interesting. I saw something on Twitter that on August the 9th, Manny Machado made his major league debut and kind of changed the fortune of that Orioles team and pushed them into the, I think, the playoffs, into a run for the playoffs. And people were speculating would the Orioles do the same thing. Gunnar Henderson looks like he's just about ready.
Yeah, so it's not as like the well is dry and the Orioles don't have some options. You know, and they moved Jorge Lopez, but that bullpen is as good as it was before, pretty much, isn't it? Like, everybody's still pitching lights out in that pen.
I know. Felix Bautista is ridiculous. CNL Perez, I'm telling you, that stuff is just...
Dylan Tate, yeah.
It's just, they have three really good arms, and they could restock and not really lose a beat with it. It was just a really, really good move. And Trey Mancini's playing well in Houston, so maybe it all worked out. So tell me, so you like Baltimore and Milwaukee. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to go put down $10 in Vegas for you the next time I'm in. So you'll just lose.
Well, I give you 10 bucks to throw down there just because the odds would be about a gazillion to one.
All right, so $500, $1,000 to get there to put a $10 bet. Okay, so tell me who's really going to get there.
I think it's going to be awful, awful tough for a team in the NL to knock off the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. So I got to go with the Dodgers. And coming out of the AL, I think the best team in the AL right now with the most depth, both on offense and pitching, is the Houston Astros.
And it would be a great World Series, Tim, because as you know, I mean, there was when they beat the Dodgers, I mean, Houston took – that was the year of the trash can. So,
yes.
So it would be a great World Series if that's what happened.
Yeah, I think we're looking at a Houston-Dodgers final. And I'm going to go with the Astros to win it again.
And Astros this are time, strong.
And this time, Jose Altuve, when he rips his jersey off – yeah, maybe he'll rip the whole jersey. He won't go into the clubhouse before he does it.
And pull the that's very true. Timmy, let's take a break. Get back. Oh my gosh, Tim, we're at 47 minutes already.
It's been fun though.
Yeah. We've done two questions, Tim.
Yeah, but we did them well.
Okay. So the Tigers...
These will be a little quicker.
Yeah, the Tigers dismiss Alex Avila. I think he actually goes by Avila, but you know, I think his son's name was, or his brother's name was Avila. Anyway, so somebody has to take the fall, and clearly it's Avila, and it probably deservedly so, because Javier Baez didn't work out, and you know, you got to stand up for the decisions you make. So... is this just a bad season, or is it a poorly constructed organization? I think it might be the latter.
I think the latter comes into play, but I think that they were counting on their big three arms, Casey Mize, Matt Manning, and Tarek Skubal. Well, I saw something from Skubal until a recent injury. The other two, not so much. You can't lose three pitchers of that quality. Spencer Torkelson, they had high hopes entering the season, and he just didn't work out. Does that mean he's not going to work out? No, I think he's going to be a fine player. But again, all of that contributed, you know, piled on to what's going on. You know, you look at the Tigers, and, you know, you could say poorly constructed organization, but yet, you know, 2 years ago, they had three of the top pitchers in the game as prospects. Okay, Torkelson and Riley Green, again, they're not bad players. You know, they're not off to the start that we anticipated or were hoping for, but that doesn't make them per se bad players. The one thing that I found very disappointing, and I think all of the candidates for the GM job in Detroit, they should watch some of the comments by Mr. Ilitch. Because he pretty well threw. He threw everybody, okay, under the bus, okay? Yeah. Who signed off on the Baez deal? I'm sure his approval was there at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, so he signed off on the Baez. And he questioned, like, J.D. Martinez and going back to Max Scherzer, like, hey, that was Avila's call, not mine. I was like, wow, do you really want to work for an owner like that? He'll find somebody that will. But
I'll take the job. Okay?
There's only 30 jobs, right? So you'll take the job, but it's not what you want in a boss, Timmy. That's for sure.
No, in the back of your mind, every move you make, will this be the one where the bus backs up and pulls forward and backs up again, okay, just to make sure they got you good?
Right. My problem, Spencer Torkelson, I am concerned about, Tim. Average exit velocity was 59 percentile. Chase rate wasn't chasing too much, but just a poor strikeout rate. I just wasn't hitting the ball hard enough, and he's just striking out too much, Tim, and it was bothersome. He was terrible, and if there's anything that we've learned from Jarrett Kelenic, I mean, they both had pretty long looks, and Spencer Torkelson, hit four home runs, five home runs?
Yeah.
21 RBIs, Timmy, and 300 plate appearances.
That made him the Tigers' leader, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, it's just,
how did they demote their leader like that? Oh, dear
yeah,
Lord.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's funny. I've actually gone back, because I saw Torkelson play a lot, so I went back and read through my notes, which I log in a database, and I keep everything in there. And one game I saw him, and he hit a leadoff home run on the first pitch of the game. Actually, the first pitch of his at-bat. But he never had a hit in all the other 12 appearances that I saw him in. And I wrote down, not impressed with the bat speed. And I don't know why I got caught up in the whole thing, Timmy. Because if I look through my notes, it was the great home run that he hit. Maybe that just, it was the first time I saw him, or the second time. Yeah. Maybe I just got caught up in the whole thing. But if I honestly looked through my notes, they weren't great notes.
Yeah, but again, it is a relatively small sample size.
300 plate appearances, not a small sample size.
No, I meant your review.
For sure. But yeah, when you see guys in their swing, Timmy, I mean, the bat speed is the bat speed, right? So
yeah, well, yeah, so definitely.
When his sprint speed is higher in percentile than his exit velocity, Timmy, that's a problem. That's not good, because he's not fast. So,
yeah, as far as the rest of the Tigers system, it's hard to blame Avila for what happened to the three pitchers. You know, it's next to impossible. And everything that could go wrong has gone wrong in Detroit this year. You know, they signed E-Rod. Okay, well, he got hurt, and then he went MIA with personal issues. You know, Baez is starting to play better now, which is good to see. But just about everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And, hey, you're right. Somebody's got to take the fall for it, and ultimately it's the GM. Again, my big concern with that is how he was treated after the fact.
Yeah. Well, Akil Baddoo, I think they've handled him very, very poorly.
Yep.
We'll see. He's playing a little bit better. He's batting ninth. I mean, Riley Green's, I mean, you got to put him number one, but I would put Akil Baddoo more at the top of the lineup. But I'm looking at their minor leagues. I mean, Cary Carpenter just got brought up. We'll talk about him. But I mean, it's, you know, there's some good guys a little bit lower end, but they took the pitcher last year with their fourth pick, and maybe they should have gone with a positional bat. Maybe they got a little too cute. We'll see how that works out for them.
Well, yeah, maybe they did, but in hindsight, with losing the three that they lost this year, plus E-Rod, plus Pineda's been off and on. Yeah, again, you can never have enough pitching, can you?
No, but you can buy the pitching. I think the teams that appear to, if you take a look at what the Orioles are doing, which I think is the model that the Houston Astros did, which is the model that works, is build a core of positional players led by Cedric Mullins and Adley Rutschman. Gunnar Henderson's coming up. I mean, those are guys that you can build your franchise around for 6 or 7 years. And then you've got a couple of good pitchers that you hope, and then you start buying guys. And that's when you buy the E-Rod, which I don't think was a bad signing, because you thought you had three core pitchers, but they don't have a core of offensive players there.
Mm-hmm. So. And you've also got to take a look. You know, how many teams now moving forward are going to look at changing their ballpark to suit their team?
Yeah, well, that's pretty smart. I think I think you're going to see that a lot more, Tim. I bet you. So,
yeah. Well, hey, it's worked.
Yeah.
Are the Baltimore Oriole pitchers any better, or much better than they were last year? Or is it simply, you know, hey, that chunk of the outfield that they moved back? How much of a difference has that made to not just the Orioles, the opposition? So again, I look at Ryan Mountcastle's numbers, and that sums it up rather eloquently, I think.
So it's funny, I know, Timmy, there's a, you know what a meme is? M-E-M-E-M-E? So it's like a picture or something that they put on the internet that describes something.
Well, I thought it was a guy that didn't talk.
OK. Okay, yeah, it's a mime. There you go. So that's
that's
okay. But anyway, so there's a big meme that's running around on baseball where it's a famous scene in Moneyball.
Moneyball,
where Billy Bean is sitting in a chair. And Jonah, whatever the character, forgot which actually the character was, is pointing on the board, you know, something on the board, and people are throwing in captions on top of it. And one of the captions I saw with Javier Baez, and it said, "Billy, we pay this guy $23 million a season, and he's not very good at anything." I thought that was pretty funny. They were talking about Javier Baez. It's like, he's not a very good baseball player. He's a great fantasy player. At least he hasn't been running this year, but, he, you know, he's a good defender, but man, he doesn't get on base at all. So I don't know how you pay a guy $23 million like that.
Well, because you were betting on 30-20.
You didn't get it, Tim.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Guys get older. The bat speed slows down. If you don't have a good approach, it's just, man, it's tough. We don't have that. That's what longevity is built on. Approaches, in my opinion, and you can have short careers and be really good if you've got great bat speed, but people get older, Tim.
Yep, and once it slows down, what once was a gap double becomes a foul ball.
Kerry Carpenter does come up, Timmy, and so does Vaughn Grissom. They're not famous prospects, but both have made my hot prospect of the week. I know you're listening to that every week, Timmy, making notes like everybody is.
But, of course I am.
So I like Kerry. I like Vaughn Grissom has been great, and he made my top 100. But I like Kerry Carpenter, too, and it's been one of the better players in the minor leagues this year. What's your thought on picking both of those guys up this weekend?
They're both going to be in my waiver wire article. I think there's opportunity there. Okay, I'm more concerned about Grissom, okay, than I am Carpenter.
Playing time?
Yeah, playing time. Grissom's a second baseman, right? When is Ozzie Albies scheduled to be returning?
I don't know. Is he gone out for a rehab yet? I don't think so. Is he swinging a bat?
No. I'm just about to take a look here. But my first thought was, hey, as soon as Albies is ready to go, right?
Well, Grissom can play a little bit of the outfield as well.
Okay.
I don't know if there's any room in the outfield.
He's playing catch as of now. He's hoping to return in September. So I guess it's not that much of a big deal.
Yeah, so Grissom could see at least two to three weeks.
Yeah, I would think, maybe
got 6 weeks left of the season. So, I mean, that seems like pretty good odds.
Yeah. I like both. Again, it's all about opportunity, and I think
Grissom's got more fantasy-friendly skills than Kerry Carpenter does, but Carpenter's really changed his approach around this year. Is making a lot better contact. So,
well, yeah, and again, the Tigers are going to want to look at some of these kids, and the Braves are fighting for a playoff spot. They'll do everything in their power. Michael Harris just keeps on rolling along.
He's a really good player.
He is going to be. I'm willing to guess that he is going to be overdrafted next spring. He's going to be a very, very hot commodity. Very
overdrafted implies he's not going to meet his draft where he's drafted. I'm not sure I agree with that unless he's taken in the first round.
Yeah, I think he could move into Brett Laurie territory. But I think I'm not as concerned as I was with Brett Laurie.
I'm glad you said that because I agree. Yeah. I don't think we're talking Brett Laurie here.
No, I don't think we are either. But I think he's going to be one player that you're going to pay a hefty price for next spring.
Hey man, you got to give the Braves a lot of credit. That's the second time I have Braves call out. They had three great center fielders coming through their system in Waters, Michael Harris, and the kid they traded to Oakland. The great defender, Timmy, help me.
Oh, Pache.
Yeah, Pache.
Yeah.
And they kept Harris. They dealt Pache, and they eventually dealt Waters. So that appears to be the right move. So that's really good evaluation.
Yeah, the Braves have done well in-house.
Yeah, well, that's very. World Series champs last time I remember, right?
Yep, pretty much.
It's been almost a year, Timmy. Time passes and you forget stuff. But I think Carpenter and Grissom are both going to be popular pickups this week. Elias has come out and said that Hall is likely to make his major league debut. We're hearing Saturday. Timmy, I've seen this kid pitch a lot. And I said it when you and I did the top 100. If you tell me he becomes a lockdown closer, I wouldn't be surprised. If you tell me he becomes a number two starter, I wouldn't be surprised. This guy has a great arm. He's just never been able to throw consistent strikes. So I'm going to play your role. Buyer beware. If you go out and spend a ton of money on this kid this weekend, just know he could go out there and in two and two-thirds innings and could walk four or five guys and blow you up.
Know your parameters. And again, you've been emphasizing all along that there's control issues here.
It's better. It's better stuff than Grayson Rodriguez. The upside is higher than Grayson Rodriguez, but the blowout is also much higher as well.
Yeah, and again, we're heading into the third week of August. Any pitching you can find, go get it. That's my recommendation. Take your chances.
It's well said, Timmy. Framil Reyes was DFA'd last week, Timmy. Didn't take him long. Mm-hmm. The Cubs came in and swooped him up. I actually thought it was a great move. I mean, I don't blame him for picking him up. I mean, this is a guy that you're probably paying the minimum to. He's got power. What do you think?
They should trade him to the Mets for Dom Smith. Am I interested? No. I think it's a good move that the Cubs take a look at him and see if they believe there's anything there. But they've already sat him one game, okay, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, if you're sitting on the Cubs, that's not good, is it? The Cubs aren't renowned for their offensive prowess. My gut feeling is he's there for a week or two and then a free agent.
And what year do we see him in Japan?
Next.
I was going to say 2024, but yeah, okay, I'll give you 2023. Yep, one or the other.
Yeah, no, they'll take a look at a player like that with that monster run potential, and they'll be looking at Framil Reyes.
I think it was a Japanese game. It could have been a Korean game. I'm not sure, but the guy took this massive swing, Tim, and hit a bomb, pulled straight down the line, and did a backflip that. I think hit the webbing going down the third base line. It was. Did you see it?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen that particular.
It was crazy. This bat flip was the craziest bat flip I've ever seen.
It was probably Korea because they're renowned for their bat flips.
Oh, okay. I guess it was Korea. It was like a 200-foot bat flip. I mean, it was amazing. And he was following through with the swing, Timmy, he was flipping the bat at the same time. It was.
It's an art form.
It was really, really impressive. Timmy, let's take a break. We get back and got a few more questions for you, then we'll get out of here.
Sounds good.
Lance McCullers makes his season debut today, Timmy, against the A's. I tell you, these guys are getting plum matchups coming back, which is really... really impressive. So is this a guy that you trust down the stretch?
No. And then the reason I say no...
Pretty good last season, Tim.
Yes. The reason that I say no is not because of what I think he will bring, but how the Astros will handle him. Okay, I think you're going to see a fair number of short outings. I think he's going to get skipped in the rotation. Okay, right now you look at Houston. What's the incentive for Houston to go out there and work Lance McCullers hard? There isn't one, is there?
Maybe to rest their other guys?
Yeah, again, I think you're going to see Verlander skip a turn and Framber Valdez and
I'd be all of shocked them. If they skipped Verlander, Tim.
Well, I think the hamstring is acting up. They will give him Justin Verlander is not going to pitch every fifth day right through to the end of the first week of October.
I don't know, man, Timmy. I think I'd be afraid to go to Justin Verlander. Tell him you're missing a start. I mean, this is a guy who's a free agent, and there's no incentive for them to handle him with kit gloves. And he's just, you know, I know he had Tommy John surgery. It was his first year back from Tommy John surgery, so maybe you're right, but I don't know, Tim.
They're up 20 games. They got a playoff. Yeah, they need these guys rested in good shape for the playoffs. That's totally the only concern I have.
Totally makes sense. We'll see if it happens, right? I think he and Scherzer are those guys are in a different category of I think they're going to be tough to go to and say we're going to sit you.
You know what I would like to see? I would like to see Max Scherzer, okay, for one day operating, okay, as the Houston pitching coach and have to go out there and tell Justin Verlander he's only going five innings, okay?
Yeah,
that'd be cool, wouldn't it? Or the other way around, Verlander going out and telling Scherzer, yeah, okay, go take a seat.
Is Verlander the leader for Cy Young this year? I haven't taken a look in a while.
I haven't.
I mean,
he's
having a great season, Tim.
Yeah, I gotta do some
given his age and given, I mean, this is his first year back from Tommy John surgery. Yeah, it would be
he's breaking and changing all the rules. He's 15-3 with a 1.85 ERA.
Oh yeah,
strikeout.
Who's doing better than that?
Dylan Cease, but not on the one loss record. Yeah, no, it's.
I guess Dylan Cease could let me see pitching. Let me go to the American League. American League. Click that on ERA in American League. Verlander is at 1.85. Cease is at 1.96. Cease is 12-5.
He's got the edge in strikeouts.
He's got Verlander the big edge in strikeouts.
Yeah.
M'Shane McClanahan has fallen off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alek Manoah is there. But it looks like it's going to come down to Verlander and Cease.
Yeah, I think Cease now has gone 14 consecutive games, 14 or 15, allowing no more than one earned run in each of those outings.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty impressive. Again, you know, you look at the records right now, and hey, as much as Dylan Cease has done, hey, Verlander's got it, as far as I'm concerned.
Maybe. Pretty close there. So I'm going to... This is pretty interesting. Here's the top 10 guys. You tell me which player is the most shocking.
Okay.
Verlander, Cease, McClanahan, right?
That's okay.
That's okay. We're talking American League.
Right.
Alek Manoah, Nestor Cortes, been great. Framber Valdez, well, a little surprising, but he's really good.
Yeah.
Martin Perez, there's a little bit of a shocker. Kevin Gausman. Cole Irving. Or Tristan McKenzie. It's got to be Irving and Martin Perez. To me, Irving is 2.92 ERA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what's his strikeout rate? 5-something, or is he?
He's got 84 strikeouts.
Yeah, that's the only reason he was available in a lot of leagues, even 2-3 weeks ago.
He's a top 10 ERA guy, Tim.
Yeah, but again, the strikeout rates could come into play, and hey. I'm not saying it's right, but there was a reason that he was, well, and the team he plays for, is pretty shoddy at best. But
Cole Irving has never done anything, ever.
No, I'm happy for the kid. I think it's awesome. I really do. Again, it's just the strikeout rates have held his value down in our game.
Uh-huh.
But in a keeper dynasty sort of form, hey, you got to love what you're seeing this year. It's a bonus, huge bonus.
And then Martin Perez, who's shown flashes in the past, but good for him. And it's so those are your top 10 from an ERA standpoint with Cole Irvin, the affable Cole Irvin. Dustin May, Tim, who do you trust more down the stretch, May or McCullers?
May.
That's not no hesitation.
No hesitation whatsoever, because even though I think Dustin May is going to get a start or two, okay, you said they've got him penciled in this week for a start. I think he's going to get a start or two, but when I look at that Dodger bullpen, I think he would be a huge asset.
Totally
especially
agree.
Especially the way Craig Kimbrell's pitching. And it's not as if the Dodgers haven't done, that it before. you know, I think Dustin May gives you the option and the flexibility of having either a very good starter or possibly a saves guy. And McCullers doesn't give you that opportunity. So I got to go Dustin May. And my gut feeling is they give him a start or two. They move him into the bullpen. And down the stretch, he replaces Craig Kimbrell as closer.
I suggested that, I think, last week. So I'm with you. Let me play the contrarian, my own contrarian.
Okay.
I do agree that he comes up as a starter. I think they do that. But I would think the most likely thing is sometime in September they pull him aside and go, we're going to limit your innings. You're just getting back from Tommy John surgery. Let's throw you in the bullpen and just tear it up. They did that in his rookie season, and he was terrible in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
That's my contrarian view.
Yeah, and that's fair enough, but that was a couple of years ago. That was long ago, far away in a distant galaxy.
Just throwing it out there, Timmy. Yeah. Just trying to play.
Have you watched Craig Kimbrell lately?
I've only seen the stat line. Timmy, I'm in bed. I'm in bed by the time the ninth inning comes around in Los Angeles. I haven't watched a lot of late innings in Los Angeles.
It's ugly. It is really, really ugly. I have no confidence whatsoever in Craig Kimbrell anymore. I just don't. I'm just gonna to satisfy my curiosity. I'm gonna pull up Kimbrell and take a quick look here. But it seems every time I've seen him, his ERA is now at 4.28. His WHIP is at 1.50.
Ooh.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In his past six games, he has allowed runs in three of the six.
Yeah, this is not. That's not acceptable.
Well,
not for the favor of making it to the World Series in the National League. Yeah, it's unacceptable.
Yeah, I'm. He scares.
Last question before we take our final break, and then you tell me the hitter and pitcher that you're picking up tomorrow. It's Keibert Ruiz, Tim. He's only hitting .247 with six home runs. Yes, oddly, five stolen bases, but he hits everything. He's got 11% strikeout rate. I think there's a lot more in the tank. He's only 24 years old. What do you think of Keibert Ruiz going forward?
He's a top blank catcher entering next season. He's going to be a top 10 catcher for me, with potential to climb as high as 5, 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there. I like Ruiz a lot. I'm not disappointed in what I'm seeing. The K rate, I think, says it all. He's playing on a very, very poor team. But I will have absolutely no problems next year. If Keibert Ruiz falls, I would love to have him as my number two catcher next year.
I totally agree. I think I'm all in on Keibert. I think there's 15, 18 home runs. But if he can hit like he's hitting, that's a double dip from a catching standpoint.
Anytime you can get a catcher that's got the potential to break 260 as far as a batting average, 340 as far as OB, that carries weight. It really does. Especially in 15-team leagues, you're going 30 deep. You get into a lot of ugliness in two-catcher leagues, you know, 15-team leagues. There's a lot of it. And, you know, hey, we just picked up Will Smith in DL5.
I was about to bring that up. We're going to take a break, get back, and we're going to talk about that trade. Tim made a big trade in DL5, which he and I are competing with some other guy who's probably going to run away the league, but we're trying. As Dynasty Leagues go, Timmy, you get the top three or four guys are just wheeling and dealing at the deadline. Going all in. You and I are doing that. And is the guy that's currently in first place. He's starting.
Sean Mattson.
Yeah, he's a good dude. So if he wins, I'll feel okay. If he was a jerk, I'd feel differently. or if he was you, I'd feel differently. Because
I'm a jerk too.
Yeah. No, you're very nice. But it's we got the competitive thing going on.
Yeah, well,
But anyway, so you made it. Tell us about the trade you did. You acquired Will Smith.
Yeah, we acquired Will Smith, and he fits very well with JT Realmuto, both this year and heading into next year. We gave up some good prospects. We gave up Tristan Casas.
That's a good player. He's not had a good season, though. I like the guy.
Oswaldo Peraza.
Langleyers. Oh, that's a really – that's interesting. Can Shane Langleyers become Will Smith? No. But he could be 70% of them, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. We're in a situation where we have got depth. We have depth in our minors. So giving up a shortstop in Peraza when you've got Jose Barrero and Gunnar Henderson, yeah, we could give that up.
I think it's a good trade for everybody. I think it's a fair deal back. And you get, you know, arguably the best offensive catcher in the game with Will Smith. So I thought it was a strong move by you, and I thought it was a great return. I mean, I loved it all the way around, and I get to approve all these things, and sometimes I go, ah. But I thought, well, okay, this is good. This helps everybody.
Well, yeah, and that's part of the goal. One of our regular listeners, David Mendelson, just recently joined this league, and, you know, he's got a team to rebuild. And I think this gives him a good opportunity to do just that. And hey, it gives us some help for this year. I think it's just you and me, Gringo, playing for second and third. So hey, it might give us a couple points in home runs. It should be a fun race down to the end.
So
I think Sean's in a good spot.
So Tim made that move, so I had to make a move. So I trade it for Paul Goldschmidt, who will be 35. He'll be 35, Timmy. In September. I didn't realize he was that old. I mean, I knew it before I made the trade. And I traded Chris Bryant, who's on the IL, 5 years younger. And then I threw in Ronnie Mauricio, who is a very good player, kind of a Didi Gregorius-type guy at shortstop. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be with the Mets. I think he's got to get out of the Mets organization, but a chance to be a very good player. I thought it was a great move by myself and a great move by the guy who got, I think, everybody won in that. But we'll see. I need home runs and RBIs. That's the league I traded for Trout, so I still need home runs and RBIs.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good deal. I have trouble with Bryant. Okay.
He's in Colorado, though.
Yeah, he's in Colorado. It could work out very well, but I wouldn't have taken the chance on him personally. I really like what you did.
Well, the plantar fasciitis is, you know, that should be, that's resolved. I mean, I had that, so I know a lot about it. That is solvable, right? You just, you got to rest it. You got to get inserts. If that doesn't work, there's other kind of treatments that is non-surgical that can fix it, so.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like I said, it's a three-horse race. We'll see how it,
I got Dustin May coming back, my friend, so.
Well, we don't need pitching. We're sort of fortunate in that.
I don't think I need pitching either.
No, we've got Corbin Burns and Darvish and Galen and Tristan McKenzie and Stroman and Urquidy and Alex Wood and Pablo Lopez. Our pitching, what we need is some wins from our pitchers. Yeah. We're fourth amongst the three teams that are playing for the top spot. A couple of wins gives us some points, but it's going to be a fun race, definitely. And you know, hey, we're probably not going to make any more moves. I think we're pretty well set where we are. There is no way on earth we are ever going to move De La Cruz or Gunnar Henderson. That's not happening. And I'm sure you've got players you feel the same way.
You've got Ellie De La Cruz.
Yeah.
Oh, that's impressive. Now you can't trade him. I would not trade that guy.
No,
he might not hit, but if he does, Timmy, he could be Ronald Acuna. So,
yeah, we're not going anywhere there. And you know, we got Dustin Harris still sitting there, and Barrero, and Pedro Leon, and James Outman. Yeah, we got lots of minor leagues. So we're built for the next 3 to 5. So, as are you. You've got a great team, and so does Sean. It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes down.
Now, the move that I traded Yordan Alvarez, Timmy, for the two pitchers, it's working out quite well. I am now in first place, 130.5 points.
Second
place guy is 129, and I think I've maxed out on the offensive points, maybe second in stolen bases, but I still have room to make up in strikeouts and ERA, so getting Luis Castillo, who's been money since he's moved over to Seattle. And the other guy he picked up, Joe Musgrove. I feel really good about my chances in that league. So we'll see. I hate to giving up Yordan Alvarez, Tim, but when you got plenty of offense, you got plenty of offense. I mean, you know, you don't need to win home runs by 100. So
You win them by one, you win them by 100. It's still 15 points, right?
Yeah, I'm currently
in the category. That's all you're going to get is 15.
I'm currently up in home runs by 26.
Yeah, so, you're 2 weeks up.
Yeah, so I'm first in batting average, home runs, RBIs. RBIs, I have 859. The second place guy has 717. So that's the kind of power. I've got Judge in that league.
That'll do it right there. Eh? I think Aaron Judge is going to be on a slew of winning teams this year. There's,
I got 74 out of the 75 offensive points. So we'll see. That was my plan. We have a very strong offense and then trade for pitching when I needed it, and it's worked out well. Timmy, that's enough about our teams. Nobody cares about that. What they care about is who you're picking up this weekend.
Austin Voth. Don't leave home without him.
Are you really going to pick up?
I have to. I didn't take enough abuse the last time around, okay? So I got to go best 2 out of 3. Yeah, I think you got to look for any pitching that you can possibly find. DL Hall, Voth. I think we're going to see better days ahead from Pepiot in the Dodgers organization. A couple long balls in his first start, but other than that, he was okay. You know,
it's a fun name to say. It's also a fun name to say. Pepiot. Pepe Le Pew.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what about your hitter?
I think when you look at hitters, we've already covered a couple that are going to be there.
Just one. I want one guy because we've got a whole show tomorrow dedicated to the waiver wire. So just give me one hitter that you're targeting.
Paul DeJong.
He's still not owned in enough leagues to be a mention?
26% in CBS, and I happen to be looking at DL5, and guess what?
He's available?
Free agent.
Really?
Yeah, and he's been on a tear.
He's playing now.
A huge tear, and again, you know, what have we seen here? Since he's got the call at the end of four home runs.
Yeah, it's great.
Two in his past five games. Again, long term, I think he is what he is, but right now he is hot. So I think he deserves another mention in my waiver wire and a little bit of love. And again, Vaughn Grissom, you know, Kerry Carpenter. There's a few other names that are going to find their way into the list.
Well, that list will be tomorrow in about 28 hours or so. So looking forward to that, Mr. McLeod. Yes. And as always, I'm glad we were able to do this on Saturday. Tim, have a good weekend. Enjoy the games, everybody. Tim, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, be safe, be well, and enjoy the games as we get down to the end of dog days of summer and start into that final push. Be well, folks.